Gentlemen, congratulations are in order. Well done to you. How are you feeling?
Thanks, Matt. We're feeling quite tired, to be honest, quite tired. It's been a lot of work, but we're very excited about the next chapter. This has certainly been a journey, and this is not, to be very clear, this is just one step in the adventure. This is not stopping. We own 50% of the new company, so we're extremely excited about the next steps of this company, which we're the largest part of, 50%, 49.9%. So we're very excited about that. There's been a bit of actually confusion. I think sometimes people have asked, why now? Why sell it? I'm like, we're not selling it. In fact, we're taking advantage of probably one of the greatest gold markets ever. We've built something up here. In fact, it's been a journey, and I think I should actually comment on that journey. It's been, 5 years now since you and I met, 5.5 years actually, when we met in Toronto, and we were a single asset. We had Beta Hunt on its own at the time with the Quebec asset. But along that journey, we purchased Higginsville, the first mill ever. We bought Spargos, which was open pit, which is going to be an underground. We bought Lakewood. Throughout that, we were able to eliminate Morgan Stanley royalty, reduce the Maverick royalty, eliminate the Ramelius royalty, creating nothing but value for our shareholders and unlocking a district. And this district is going to be a big part of the pro forma company. So this is that history, I think, is part of the journey, but the adventure is still forward and yet to come. There's a lot more to come for our shareholders as we continue to participate 50%. And this has been, you know, supported by a lot of our shareholders. We haven't been online in a video yet. I'm glad to get out there for a lot of our retail folks. We've been behind closed door with a lot of the institutions, and that feedback has come across extremely well, making sure people understand what it is we're doing, understanding what you're part of. It's so important that people understand that this is not a sale. It really is a merger of equals with a premium into something much bigger. We're just choosing to let Wayne run it. And I'll tell you, Wayne is an exceptional man. The cultural fit between him and us is identical. If the assets were in North America, we'd be arm wrestling to see who would be running it. In this case, they're in his backyard. It makes complete sense to trust him to run this thing, given what he's done over the last 2 years. But behind closed doors, we've had a lot of support from a lot of our institutional shareholders. And look, I'll just point out one, Eric Sprott, been a tremendous, tremendous supporter of this deal, was wall-crossed and locked some. There's a BSA lockup, which has been phenomenal. Eric was a huge endorsement, like all of us. We're all locked up as well. We're not going anywhere. In fact, I was on the phone yesterday while we were between meetings, calling our lawyers saying, look, are we still in blackout? If not, can I buy? Unfortunately, I'm in blackout. There's a tremendous opportunity here of easy 60 cents. I'm like, agreement is at 590. We didn't sell it. We're merging it. I got to make sure I clarify my words, but there's a tremendous opportunity. I was calling my wife and the lawyer saying, look, let's buy this stock. It's insane. This is easy money for us given what we have in front of us. So very exciting time, really endorsed by a lot of our shareholders. And I'm only going to name Eric, but there are a lot of institutions that we did meet. Oliver and I were in front of three desks yesterday, about 12 to 14 one-on-one meetings with institutions who are very pleased. And the big part is maintaining that TSX listing. I think the dual listing is so, so important for our shareholders, which was very critical. And we're going to help maintain that TSX listing going forward. But I'll leave it to Oliver here to maybe open up and talk a bit about the deal terms. But I can tell you the journey is far from over. The adventure is about to begin.
Good. Okay. Because we've looked at this. We think it makes a lot of sense. You know, obviously you've positioned it, and I think hopefully Oliver, if you don't mind sharing a second, you know, why it is genuinely a merger of equals. And I'm kind of interested in also in the kind of synergies and operations on the ground. But Oliver, let's talk about the deal metrics, because I think there's a bit of confusion with retail in terms of trying to understand what it means for them. If you don't mind, can you sort of talk us through that? Why is it structured like it is?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the reasons why all these institutions were so excited over the course of yesterday and this morning and all the meetings that we've been having, is that what you're basically building here is going to be the third largest gold producer in Australia and the largest fully percent unhedged gold producer in Australia. And what does that mean? That means that you have full exposure to rising gold price environment. Look, we're all very excited about the gold market going on right now. This vehicle will have 100% exposure to that. Now, for those that is not as familiar in investing in Australia, that is atypical. The majority of the peer group do have some sort of hedges in place with which reduce the realized gold price. So this is very, very exciting. This thing is going to trade very, very well. We can get into its market positioning a little bit later. But let's talk about the headline.
$3,500 gold, Oliver. Don't forget, $3,500 gold we sold. Sorry to interrupt. Go.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, just a few days ago, we sold at $3,500 an ounce Australian, which is a record for the company, which is phenomenal. And we'll certainly be enjoying that in the new West Gold as gold prices increase. So in terms of the deal metrics, the headline metrics, of course, total consideration for a merger of equals, the headline number was $5.90. But let's break that down. What does that get you, right? That is comprised of $5.15 in shares, 60 cents in cash, and 15 cents in a new SpinCo that we're creating that we can talk about a little bit later on. But the Karora shareholders are going to own 49.9%, let's call it 50-50, exactly half of the largest fully unhedged gold producer in Australia. That is a tremendous vehicle. We can start talking about some market multiples and the larger investors that are going to be interested in that, and the index buying that will happen. But it is absolutely critical to know that 87% of the total consideration is ownership in the new company. You are transitioning your Karora stock into Westgold stock, and then you will ride that continued wave in Australia. And I would make a very strong argument that that ride is going to be accelerated even more than it would be if Karora proceeded with its plans alone. Look, we are extremely excited about the work that we've done so far and the future for Karora. But combining these two entities, it truly is one of the 1+1=3. And we're excited to be shareholders moving forward. So that's the structure. And maybe we can talk about some of the market positioning.
Well, before we do, you know, you talk about this merger of equals, right? And you both behaved the same way during the last 3 years in terms of the kind of growth story here. You've always talked to us about 2025, setting yourselves up for 2025 is where the kind of real kind of uptick happens, the step change in the company. And we've seen, obviously, Westgold do the same thing last year. 2023 was a spectacular year for them. Coming together as a merger of equals suggests that there's potential for a rewrite. You've kind of touched on some of the things which, you know, the benefits. But why in this market, this rising gold environment, will that re-rate be more likely than we've seen over the last 3 years?
Yeah. So absolutely. No, and one thing I should mention just before we go there is there's a couple of different ways of looking at the offer price as well, right? When we look at it on a VWAP to VWAP basis, which is how we do things in North America, it's a 25% premium. So what you're actually getting is a premium into a merger of equals, which is wonderful for Karora shareholders. And then obviously combining these two businesses is great for both entities. So let's answer your question right there on market positioning. So what you are creating, you have a roughly, let's call it a 1.1 plus a $1.1 billion company with the consideration that goes into a $2.2 billion market cap company that is producing between 400 and 450,000 ounces of gold per year, which, again, roughly speaking, depending on market cap movements go, is the third largest gold producer in Australia, fully unhedged. Now, I'm going to talk about market multiples, and this is something I think is really important for people to understand. There is something called net asset value in a business, and typically companies trade at a premium or a discount to that net asset value. Where the junior gold producers like us are trading right now, and trust me, this is going up, which is wonderful because we're starting to see a rise in the gold price, and you're starting to see a bit of a re-rate in the equities lately, which is wonderful. We are trading at around a 0.7 to 0.75 times price to NAV multiple. Westgold is a little bit higher. They're around 0.8 times. Combining these two entities into a larger vehicle, larger vehicles typically trade at a premium. So you're going to see the combined entity go to a 1.1 to a 1.2 times, a premium to NAV. So if we're trading at a discount to our value, this combined entity is expected to trade to a premium of the combined value. So what does that get you? That gets you a very, very strong re-rate on your share price, and it gets you into a whole new tier of investors. Now let's talk about the second tailwind here. So we talked about number one is increased multiple on your assets. So your assets are valued at more in a larger vehicle than they are in a smaller vehicle. Now here's the second part of this, the second bit, multiple bit. In Australia, when this has been the way for the majority of the 5 years that you and I have been talking, there's only one period where it wasn't true. Australian companies have traded at a higher multiple to their North American peers. Layering on top of that, Australian assets inside Australian companies trade at an even higher premium than Australian companies that own assets all over the world. Exactly the same thing happens in Canada, where we like to have assets in our own backyard. So you're getting a multiple increase on size and a multiple increase on being on the ASX. And that will flow right back to that listing that Paul talked about on the TSX, because we will remain dual listed. The next part of this is what's called index inclusion. So I think a lot of your listeners and investors here in Karora are very familiar with the GDXJ, which is a basket of stocks here in North America that includes Karora, and the GDX, which is when you get to a slightly larger market cap, you qualify for more index buying. And I'm going to say a number out here, about 60% of flows in the capital market, so that's trading, is people tracking index funds, quants that track index funds. It's not one guy pushing a button saying, I like this thing. It's tracking those index funds. So to be part of that game is extremely important. That's the North American side. By merging with Westgold and owning 50% of this business as Karora shareholders, we now qualify for ASX indices. They are already on the ASX 300, which is the top 300 largest companies in Australia on the Australian Stock Exchange. But when we merge from 1.1, both of us, to 2.2, we are put right into the bracket of the largest 200 companies in Australia called the ASX 200, which triggers more, and I'm going to use this word, it's real, mandatory buying from all of those funds that follow the indexes. So you're going to have, in North America, more buying on the GDX that pushes prices up, and you're going to have in Australia at the same time more buying on the ASX 200 moving prices up. So you have the tailwinds of index buying. I'm going to reiterate, 60% of capital flows follow those indices. That's a huge win to have behind you. So index buying, multiple increases based on size, and a sweetener on the end is a multiple increase based in Australia. Those three things I just talked about are not possible with Karora as it stands today. Of course, we can continue to drive the business, get it bigger, try to get that GDX inclusion. We actually did have it for one quarter a little while back. We only spent 2 months above $6. We had it very briefly, then the whole market rolled over and we were off of it. So combining these entities automatically puts you into a whole new bracket of investor, which is very appealing. And one of the things I think is very important, and I bet this is going to be one of your questions, Matt, is the dividend. And what does the dividend bring to the table? I mean, who doesn't like a dividend and returning capital to shareholders? Of course, right? At Karora, we've been in a growth mode for the last 3.5 years, right? We've been focused on capital, maintaining our cash balance, deploying capital into the ground and growing the business. A dividend is a natural progression for this business as we get out of our capital spend, but that's not going to happen until 2025. Westgold and Warren announced a dividend already, a special dividend, a first half dividend this year, and that's going to be rolled into what's called an annualized dividend. So you basically get the same payment every year just for being a shareholder. It's 7 cents US per share at a minimum, and it's going to be around a 1% yield. Now, what does that do? Number one, your shareholders of Karora are now going to become shareholders of Westgold. They're going to get cash back from the business regularly. Cash is going to come to them every single quarter. They're going to get paid. Well, they'll get paid on an annual basis. But that is really powerful, and that attracts a whole new suite of investors that require a dividend to be paid. So a lot of reasons why. You asked about re-rate. I just gave you a lot of reasons why this name combined is going to re-rate even faster than these entities would do on their own.
Full stop. This is Karora Unleashed. This is for us to unleash Karora now. We've been working hard to get us to this point. We've always been, look, if you look at the last 24 months, that $4.50 to $5, you know, we did get above $6 once. It was a very short, brief-lived moment, but that share price has always stalled out there. Gold price is really in favor right now. But when we bolt these two things together, and we own 50% of it, look, you got to keep repeating that and repeating and repeating it so people understand. They're going, oh, they're not selling this company. That's not true at all. They're part of this company. We're excited about the new company. Look, if you were a shareholder back when I first became here, look, the market cap was what? $50 million? You were in the room with me. I've been a shareholder from the very beginning. From day one, me, my family, been a shareholder. In fact, we took a lot of risk, if you recall. A big part of my compensation, my biweekly compensation, was paid in shares way back then. I've managed to keep that through the years and sell a bit for taxes, but I own quite a bit of it because I was paid in shares. We're maintaining that. I told my wife, look, we're keeping this position. This will get rerouted. This is something that's going to be very exciting, and that's why we're happy to be a big part of it. And look, I'm going to stay part of it as well. Just think of geography here. For 5 years, you know that I moved my family up there for 2 years. I brought my whole family up there for 2 years. Look, I don't tell everybody this, but I'll say this on live air. I have two children that I've adopted are special needs that need a little bit of additional help. It was hard to stay there. We knew we couldn't stay there forever. Therefore, we're back in Nevada. We needed somebody to run that over there. We brought in Lee, who's doing a great job, very happy. But putting this together, it accelerates everything. It makes things go even faster. It is Karora Unleashed. One of the victims of our success has been that Higginsville hasn't been able to get drilling, all the drill bits. We have tremendous targets. With this balance sheet that we have together, we can do so much more. With 5 mills, we're locking up a massive district. This is a game changer for us. And again, look, I come out of blackout today, you'll be reading reports where I'm buying this. There's such a good spread for us. This is easy money. I'll be buying the stock here today if I can come out of blackout. No doubt, hands down.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a simple question before we move on to kind of questions around operations, because I'm intrigued. When mergers happen, you got to manage it, right? So the simple question is this: with the rising gold price, gold's at what, $2,360 today? Was there any moment during the last 3 months, because you've had two suitors, and hopefully this one gets over the line, you've had two suitors, was there any point in the last 3 months when you're looking at the gold price thinking, actually, we can do this ourselves? Is it genuinely faster with this merger of equals?
Yeah, it really is, and for multiple reasons. And I think, you know, Paul's, this is probably the right time to talk about the synergies that this unlocks, because the go-it-alone situation does not unlock synergies. There's a lot of cost synergies, and there's a lot of operational synergies. Maybe talk about some of the stuff you saw on site, and yeah, talk about some of the projects moving forward.
Yeah, and if you could do that in the context, Paul, because we've seen a couple of mergers with equals last year, and basically they're kind of like desperate companies failing in their own particular unique way and coming together and hoping something works out. You've got a sort of different scenario here with getting very cash-rich groups also, you know, producing ounces out of the ground. So explain to me how these operations find these synergies. What's the process, and where are the genuine savings? Because I think if I'm reading sort of social media properly, some people just think, oh, it'll be just at HQ, but it's got to be more than that.
Come on, let's really be honest here. That's one, and you can't ignore that one. Look, that's $20 million a year, so HQ is important, but that's where it starts. Let's be honest, that's where it starts. This is kind of a textbook case study. You know, I always talk about this. I had the privilege of going to Stanford when I was 40 years old, and I did a mini MBA there, and they always do case studies, case study on Google, case study on Apple. This would be a perfect case study on synergies, no matter what. Hands down, you look at this, there's a great case study showing students, this is what synergies should look like. And, you know, for 7 years, I was in Nevada, you know this, as the GM. I got promoted to GM of the Midas Mine. I worked for Newmont. Newmont and Barrick, I was part of a committee that looked at the synergies of Barrick and Newmont together. What happened? The formation of Nevada Gold Mines. What's the first headline announcement? $500 million in synergies annually. This is very similar, Matt. I've done this four times in my career. Four times, not once, not twice, four times in my lifetime. These synergies are real, and they start at the top. You look at the board, you consolidate the board. We're staying on the board here in this situation. We've got three positions. Lee Junk stays on the board, Shirley stays on the board. I stay as an advisor to the board for as long as required. If it's 6 months, if it's 12 months, if it's 2 years, we decide, we do what's best for the shareholders. You keep coming down our corporate office. You talked about it. Well, it is matter. We're two blocks away from each other in Perth. This is a Perth, Western Australia company. Put them things together. And then you start looking at where you really drive synergy. There's two areas here. We have about 30 pieces of equipment to run about 170,000 ounces a year. That's what Karora has today. And we've bought about eight of those in the last 12 months, each of them costing anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. But a lead time anywhere from 12 months to 24 months. If you go to their mine sites, and I did again, I went to every one of their mine sites with Wayne and Simon. And what you see is 130 pieces of equipment. They're not, that's five times the amount of gear we have. And I'm talking trucks, bolters, or trucks, jumbos, drills, scoops, all kinds of heavy equipment that would each cost $1.5 to $2 million. There's $200 million of equipment. They're not producing five times the amount of ounces. Why do they have five times the amount of gear as us? That's, you go, how is that possible? It's because they used to own a contracting company. Wayne, he cleaned it up and became owner-operator. It was a contract company within Westgold. Wayne said, look, we're going to make this different. We'll become owner-operator. But what's the result? 130 pieces of equipment. Man, that's a lot of gear. Order one of those at a time. Pay for them. You get $200 million of gear. What can you do with it? Day one, you merge this thing. You bring 20 pieces of gear over to our sites, whether it's Beta Hunt for the acceleration of the 2 million tons, whether it's Higginsville where you allow some drills. You've got core drills there, four or five core drills. You bring two to Higginsville. You bring two to Beta Hunt. You start drilling there. Whether it's Spargos. That Spargos underground mine, we've been pushing it off. And it's the highest gold price in the world. You think we don't want to start that? We never wanted to dilute our shareholders. We didn't want to put in a stream. We didn't want to put in a convert. We've only done two financings since I've been here. One at the beginning and one to buy the mill. So when you look at the synergies that are with this equipment, they are textbook. We can accelerate and start that. We didn't even take into account how accelerating this stuff manages into that $60 to $70 million annually. We get $480 million over the life of it at the current point in time. These are big. Now you take it a step further. This is just equipment on the things we can start up. Take it a step further and operate your mine day in, day out. Everybody has a mine run. Now we have five mills, seven mines. You look at things a lot differently. When you meet with that vendor who's selling you cyanide, or the guy who's selling you ball mills, or the guy who's selling you mill liners, or you go underground, who's selling me explosives? Who's selling me drill bits? Who's selling me ventilation supplies, rock bolt supplies? You know the rock bolt supplies we have in all these underground mines? We used a 5% discount, and that is extremely conservative. That's very conservative. We used a lot more, almost three times, when I was part of the team in Nevada that put in some synergies, and we realized. We absolutely realized them because we could buy in scale. When Wayne is up there running this company and he's talking to vendors and he's saying, look, we want to be fair to you. It gives the vendor some consistency, a really good flow that they can go, I know I'm going to get this because there's so much volume. In return, I can offer you this kind of pricing. Look at ore transportation. It just doesn't stop. Tires, you name anything we use from all the way up to the board, all the way down to the guy on the jumbo with a drill steel and a drill bit. There are synergies across this organization. There's some that we can't even quantify. Just think about this. What's one of the biggest risks you're hearing in Australia? What is it? Labor. Everybody says the same. It's labor, Paul. It's labor. Doesn't matter what your branding is on it, whether it's BHP, Rio Tinto, Karora, Westgold, it's always labor. When you consolidate these areas, you can start looking at your people and talking to your people, and the guys go, or the women go, the people go, look, that mine is a lot closer to my house. Can I get transferred to that mine? Then I don't have to quit Karora to go work for Westgold. Or that mill, boy, oh boy, that schedule is so much better for me and my family Why don't, if I'm working for this company, I could get transferred over to Beta Hunt or over Big Bell. I can work there instead of working there, and I could be with my family more. Those are real things that happen that you cannot quantify or put a pin in. The turnover rate does get reduced. The safety, all the costs associated with training people, onboarding people. You think that's not expensive? You onboard somebody, you pay them for all the training, then bam, 3 months later, they're gone. You're like, son of a fart, man. I got to do something. This helps it every day of the week. So you got equipment, you got G&A, and you got vendors. There is no better textbook. You write up the textbook, you bring it in, and you say, here, this is a case study. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. I've done it 4 times in my life. Look, hands down, when I looked at this, I thought, oh, what a blessing. What do you do with the money now? This is what Eric Sprott said to Paul Hewitt. First question, he says, what do you do with the money, Paul Hewitt? And he didn't ask me. He said, here's what you do with the money, Paul Hewitt. You turn it into that dividend. Or you turn it into the drill bit, which increases that share price. You return it to shareholders. You find a way to make sure that those extra dollars from the cost cuttings and the savings are returned into the business, are returned into the shareholders. They're real dollars, Matt. Don't ever kid yourself that they're these butterfly things. They're real. I've done it. So there's no maybe. And it gives Wayne and us and our pro forma company opportunity to do a lot of things with that extra cash. But I know the big thing on Wayne's mind is going to be making sure we de-risk that dividend, making sure our drill bits are turning because we get value out of the synergies or value for our shareholders when we add ounces into the ground, especially at this gold market. So I'll just let Oliver turn it over and talk about some of the acceleration of some of
No, before you do. Wayne, tell me about Wayne because I don't care who asks this question.
I got it. Look, I got to take first stab. This guy's amazing. Look.
Okay, because here's the thing. You were talking to another party. It kind of fell through for whatever reason. You stopped the kind of exclusive period and you started a conversation with Wayne.
Yeah, look.
It's happened so quickly. What was it about him? What was it about the discussion that did it for you?
Look, the other party, let's face it, they're a great company, great people. It was just that it just didn't come to fruition. You'll never hear me say anything bad. There's a different opportunity here. And this one here, Wayne, all you got to do, Matt, is you get to meet him. And don't let his hair fool you. This guy is amazing. He stands up in front. You know, the first time I met this guy, I will never forget it. I met him. We've been talking to these guys, look, both parties for years. This isn't something that happened like real fast. And I'm like, why now? Well, look, we've been thinking about it. We looked at this. I went to all their operations for 10 days, 2.5 years ago. Everyone. It was with Peter Cook, who was a different person. But we just said, look, at the time, we only owned Higginsville. We didn't own Lakewood. We had just pierced 100,000 ounces a year. We were at sub 250 a share price. And we felt, look, it's not the right time for our shareholders. We need to pause. We need to pass. Thank you. We're going to revisit this sometime later when it makes more sense. And together, we can really unleash these companies. But going back to Wayne, when Wayne took over, I was amazed by this guy. And I've been speaking to Wayne every quarter, every 2 quarters at conferences every year. We've been continually talking about, hey, you know, maybe this makes sense. The first time I heard him speak, I was at a conference. He stood up on the podium and what he said just blew my mind. And what he did afterwards was more impressive. He got up on the podium and he said, listen, I know I'm new here. I'm not new to Australia, but I'm new to West Gold. And one thing I'm going to say right out of the gate, he said, we make no apologies for shutting down mines that are uneconomic. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement from a CEO of a gold company. But what he did next was he shaved a bunch of ounces. And I can't remember the exact amount. It was something like around 40,000 ounces from their year annual production. He reduced it. And he said this, by reducing these amount of ounces, I'm shutting down these smaller satellite things. I'm reducing that. I'm shutting that down. I'm freeing up people. I'm freeing up equipment. And I'm going to put those people in an area where I need them most, but I'm going to make more money. You hear that? I'm going to produce less ounces, but I'm going to make more money. Is that the guy you want running this company? That's the guy I want my money to be in. That's the guy I want in front of my company. And this is what we're doing. We're choosing. We're making a choice here to say, look, we believe in him. He's only 2 years down his journey here. I've been here 6 years here. I moved to Australia. I've done the sacrifices. It's in his backyard. Is he the right guy? There's no doubt he's the right guy. Culturally, he's a great fit. Why did we get this deal done so quick? We've been looking at it for years. Let's be honest. This didn't happen in 2 weeks. What happened in a couple of weeks was the fact that we could get all the legal stuff done.
Yeah.
The technical stuff we had been looking for a long time together. Now, it tells you something about the culture of both companies. Man, the fact that we could do this together, and look, in today's day and age, with all the legal, the culture of these two companies is identical. You can't stop me from talking about this guy, Wayne, because I'm a big fan, and I am personally going to be holding myself. I'm going to be alongside him. By the way, I'm staying on the board as an advisor with him. I'm not running away. I'm very excited to be part of the pro forma. There's nothing more exciting in my career than building the third largest gold producer in Australia, unhedged, at the highest gold price in the world. I wrote an email internally and to people here in the company. I said, look, this has got to be some of the proudest moments in our careers to be part of this journey. And the adventure starts now. We're not going anywhere. We own 50% of this. It's not a sale. I got to keep repeating it. I've been involved in it a lot longer than almost anybody. I got involved in 2018 accepting paper for a high-risk RNC insolvent company, and I'm still here and I'm staying here. So, look, I've been mining 35 years, Matt. This is the most exciting I've been in my career.
I hear you, and I think hopefully everyone gets the fact that you believe that. And I think, you know, I think people forget that, like, when you came on board, and certainly when we were talking about 5 years ago, this thing was technically insolvent. This project,
-$18.7 million working capital.
Right, and that's a hard place to move on from. But it's happened, and you're saying that this, and what I've heard today,
Wayne's doing the structure. He's doing something similar. He is restructuring the board, the executive team, the company. He's doing the same. We get to go along that journey with him. He's only in year two. We've got 4 years ahead of him. Sorry to cut you off, but this is what excites me about Wayne and this journey with him.
Okay, what I think we've gone through today is I think I've asked some questions which allowed you to actually, you know, sell this to, you know, current retail shareholders who perhaps may not have entirely understood the opportunity here. So in terms of the structure of the deal,
they're smart. Our retail shareholders are smart people, so I wouldn't underestimate.
I hear you. And maybe I'm talking to a very, very small group, but I want everyone to understand that. So the structure as outlined by Oliver looks like it's set up. There's a quick win there. I hear what you're saying, and also about the follow-on with access to the various indices, with the dual listings, etc. Access to both those markets is good news, and the synergies as you've outlined, Paul. I mean, Oliver, I'm gonna just come to you. Do you think there's the sum of the parts in this instance are there's more to come, as it were?
Oh, without question. Yeah, without question. This is just the beginning, and I think one of the things that is really important to emphasize, and, you know, Paul made an excellent point there on all the equipment that's available. You cannot underestimate the value of that fleet that's sitting there at Westgold with no home, with no place to operate, right? We've got two tremendous opportunities for that, or three actually, tremendous opportunities for that equipment to go. And we need that equipment. If we were placing long-time lead order items for that stuff, it would take 18 months for it to arrive. The capital items would be significant. So let me just run you through. This is something that, you know, this isn't right out of the gate. This is something that materializes over the next 6 to 12 months as we start to evaluate these projects as a new company. But I'll start with the first one that's very, you know, Paul's already mentioned, is Spargos. We can bring fans, generators, jumbos, scoops down from Westgold to kick off Spargos. What that allows us to not do is use a contractor. Look, Westgold is entirely owner-operated fleet. At Beta Hunt, we're an entirely owner-operated fleet. The only place where we use contractors is at Higginsville. That is atypical for the Western Australian environment. And we are good miners, and we want to be owner-operated mining. So we're going to be able to shift away from contract mining at Higginsville, bring his fleet down, and owner-operate it. There's also a lot of cross skills that can be shared across the two operations. We can learn from each other. So that's huge. Spargo's coming online. The other thing, and look, these are the kind of projects that we are going to be evaluating in the future. This is just something for shareholders to think about. There's this project called Mount Henry that's down further south of Higginsville, right? 87 kilometers south of Higginsville. When we first purchased Higginsville, those tons were being trucked all the way up to the Higginsville mill. We stopped that immediately. Why did we stop that? We stopped it because we had Beta Hunt. Tons were coming from Beta Hunt and they were filling that mill. Gold was around $1,450 an ounce, right? We are close to $900 an ounce above that today, US dollars. That project starts to look a lot more interesting at $2,300 US. The value of that rock is really increased. It's 1.6 gram material, but we don't have the milling capacity right now. Paul mentioned it before. Look, there's a suite of mills here. Total milling capacity in this combined entity is now 6.8, close to 7 million tons of capacity per annum. But let me just take you one step back because I get really excited about this potential project. We were originally going to expand the Higginsville mill. Two things happened, as all your investors know. Costs doubled and schedule risk came in. It was going to be pushed out by 18 months during that COVID period. So we purchased Lakewood, solved that problem. It's been a wonderful success. We did the advanced engineering work on Higginsville to add another 1 million tons per annum. That work is still good. It's ready to go. What is always needed to justify it is another source of mill feed in terms of big tons. Mount Henry to the south has 1 million ounces in resource on it. It is a large resource, a large ore body. With Westgold's new capabilities, think about this, elevated gold price, a hugely robust balance sheet. They got over $160 million in cash right now, and they're adding free cash flow every single quarter. Wayne's done it for 5 quarters in a row, and you can bet your bottom dollar that after this quarter, cash is going up even more, right? Look at these gold prices. He's adding cash to the balance sheet. There's a lot of really interesting uses for that cash. But also, what you take away from from Mount Henry, bringing his fleet down, right? There's synergies that can happen there, right? So let's evaluate some of these projects over the course of the next 6 to 12 months after this deal comes together. There's a lot of things. Look, we've made our best estimates right now as synergies. There's a lot of these things that can be unlocked. And what does that do for our shareholders and Westgold shareholders is it brings the value of projects that otherwise had to wait a few years until we finish this because we can only do one thing at a time. That brings that forward into value today that builds value for shareholders today at bigger multiples means share price goes up even more. So we're very excited about that. So when you talk about the sum of the parts, there's even parts in there that we're not able to discuss yet because we still need to evaluate on a combined basis. The last one I want to talk about, so I talked about two mining operations that can be radically improved with this combined entity. The other thing is, look, if there's been a victim of Beta Hunt's success over the last year and a half, 2 years, and we've all enjoyed the ride of Beta Hunt. Look, we've taken it from 400,000 ounces originally when we first took it over in resource, 80,000 ounces in reserve, up to close to 3 million ounces in resource while mining over that period over 500,000 ounces, right? Like that's been tremendous over these last few years. But the victim of the success of Beta Hunt and the drilling has been the massive Higginsville tenement package. Just so your investors know this, I want to say this for Westgold shareholders that are excited to join us. We own the largest coverage of the most prospective belt in WA, the Kalgoorlie belt, two shears on there, 100 million ounces has come out of that belt. Karora owns the largest land package. What does Wayne have that we don't have? Obviously, he has more robust balance sheet, right? He'd bring more cash in. We still do too, but we're still going through that growth mode. But he has 6 drills on site that can be shipped down to Beta Hunt and Higginsville immediately. 3 of those drills coming down to Higginsville to start drilling out the Sleuth Trend, Lake Cowan, all these targets that we've talked about for years. But to be honest, we put all of our dollars in drilling that's been available into Beta Hunt. We can now do Beta Hunt, Higginsville simultaneously, Big Bell, all of his operations up in the Brier. Like this is, able to accelerate all this value at a time when we are in a record gold price environment. Look, all of your investors know this industry is cyclical and all of us are hoping, and I'm extremely constructive about the gold price of where we're going to be for the next several years here, but it's cyclical. When these windows open up, you got to take advantage of them. You got to make more cash while we're at these prices. That's what this combination allows us to do is bring more cash into this business, drive share price up, return more cash to shareholders faster than either of us could do on our own. And that's why we're really excited about it.
Okay, I'm going to ask this. If something's worth saying, if something is good and it's worth saying twice. So Paul and Eric Sprott asked you the question, remind me, what are you going to do with the money?
The money from the synergies, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, look, there's all kinds of things.
Or any spare cash that you generate.
You look at making sure we maintain the dividend. Look, that I know that opens up a door for a lot of shareholders. I can't tell you how many times I've been asked personally, when will Karora pay a dividend? This was something we always were open-minded to, but said we couldn't afford. It's a different company now. This company can afford it. And you drill. Where do you get value for our shareholders? You drill. You continue to increase reserves, and that creates a lot of value for our shareholders. So you look at making sure that share price is a result of us, that extra cash. Sorry. The extra cash goes into a dividend for your shareholders, or you'd be drilling. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do. It's pretty exciting to have it, first and foremost.
Okay. Well, look, guys, I appreciate your time today. I know it's been an absolute whirlwind for the last 3 months. You must be absolutely exhausted. But I think you've stuck to fundamentals and you've delivered on that. And I think this is a fantastic deal. Anyone looking at it should appreciate that after this conversation.
I want to thank all our shareholders who are with us and very excited to continue with us, because this is an adventure here. We are not selling Karora. We are going on an adventure to get us unlock the value and get us to that $6, $7, or $8 share price, which we all deserve. And look, from my perspective, I'm very much looking forward to working with the new board there. A bunch of good people. I've met them all. Very exciting. And Wayne, well, I've already talked to you about him. So I'm looking forward to the Karora people being welcomed with open arms into this pro forma thing that we own 50% of, or right at 50%. It's a very exciting time from that little Royal Nickel company that was about $50 million 5 years ago.
And sorry, Ollie, just remind me, what was the timing of the vote on this?
Yeah, so it's about a three-month close, so the vote will be mid-July thereabouts is in the press release, the date. That's the target date. So you always stay on and around, but that's when we expect to do it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Guys, thanks very much.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.